If you're visiting with us, I am not an ordinary preacher. I'm anything but ordinary, I guess. So just kind of filling in. I actually started a lesson series back in November entitled No Perfect People Allowed, becoming a church that is grace-filled and looks to God for our direction. And so this morning we're going to wrap that up with the fourth in a series of lessons. Comes from a book by the same title, No Perfect People Allowed, by John Burke. If you have not ventured out and got a copy of that, read through the whole thing, I would highly encourage you, because what I'm giving is just a very condensed version. This is an excellent work, and will inspire you and lead you to some good things. If you would please, let's begin with a word of prayer. God, we come before you this morning just asking that you would bless us to truly see ourselves as your body in the world today, that we would look upon ourselves as fully capable in your hands, that you are molding us and shaping us and knitting us together, the pieces and parts, that you would look to form a full body here, that we may have a wonderful impact, not only on ourselves and the things that we can do for each other, but in the community around us, that we can truly represent you as your body in the world today. I pray that you will watch over me this morning and allow me to speak your words. It's through Jesus that we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 9 says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. When Jesus looked out in the neighborhood, he saw beneath the surface. He saw deep into people's lives, into the pain and the confusion, into the disease and the trouble, the heartache and the sadness, into their chains of brokenness and addiction, many things that kept the people enslaved. He saw people wandering and in danger, like sheep without a shepherd, needing the God who wants to guide and provide for them. And in that, he says he had compassion. Literally, he was moved in his gut to do something about it, to take action. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He healed, he fed, he taught people how to live a free life of all the chains that bind us. In short, he taught them how to live in God's kingdom. Now, when we look out, what do we see? Maybe we see this again. If we remember masks that we've shown a couple of times, you know, when you look at people and you see that the folks are where you live and where you work, what is it we typically see when people are coming and going? When we exchange the small talk, right? They drive decent cars in and out of their decent-sized garages attached to their decent houses. They seem to have decent friends and decent family. They look like things are just fine. They don't really need anything. But that's the game we all play. We all wear our masks. But I'm really not caring that much about all those people, because I'm preoccupied with myself and my own stuff. And even though the picture may be a little broken, that's really where most of my time is spent. Maybe it's I just see the people that bug me. They don't drive right. They cut in line. They do a lot of things that are stupid and wrong, and it often causes me to just want to avoid them, right? Maybe I'm the only one. Sometimes I wish Jesus hadn't said that the two greatest commandments are to love God and to love your neighbor. I actually wish he'd said to love God and to love your pet. That would have been easier. That would be good enough. People are too difficult. Just love your pet. But that's not what he said. He said to love your neighbor as you love yourself. What if we saw these people that we interact with every day, not just on the surface, but under all the pretense that says, I have it all together? What might we see if we looked with the eyes of Jesus? Well, let's take a look at people statistically. Some things that we know, just on average. Nearly 1 in 2 people spend more money than they have. Personal debt is still growing like a well-fed St. Bernard puppy. People are racking up debt burdens and financial struggles that weigh them down with worry. 1 of 2 marriages fail, leaving heartache, struggle, and pains for both the adults and the children alike. 2 of 5 people under age of 40 are chained to some addictive substance, struggling to get free, feeling helpless and hopeless. 1 of 4 women gets sexually abused before the age of 18 and then struggles with all kinds of coping mechanisms that often leaving them feeling isolated and alone. 1 in 4 people will have an STD by the age of 40, yet most will keep being sexually active because that's what everybody's doing. 1 of 3 women you meet have gotten abortion, for many compounding the suffering with residual questions and remorse. 1 of 2 men and 1 of 3 women will likely get some form of cancer over their lifetime. 1 of 4 people you see coming and going each day, if they were honest, would tell you that they have no close friends at all, no one to talk things through, no one who really cares. That's not the half of it, but that means just about everybody that you lock eyes with more than likely is struggling with something or soon will be. But is there anybody who sees with Jesus' eyes, who sees beneath the surface? It's a very broken, messed up world beneath the surface, and that's what Jesus sees, and it moves him with compassion. The scriptures claim that God came near, entered our suffering in the form of the Messiah, and demonstrated his compassion to the world in need. He took on a human body and stepped into the messiness of our world. And when he was here on earth, he did something about it. He said, God's kingdom has come near, and when God's will and ways come near, people are cared for and clothed and fed and healed and set free from spiritual oppression. You might say, well, what's God doing about that now? He still has compassion, and he still has a plan. And you know what? He still has a body on earth to meet the spiritual and physical needs of hurting people. People have always been God's plan to meet needs. Why? Because we cause most of our own problems. We live by our own individual kingdom rules and ways, and so does everybody else. So it becomes a world of little kingdoms at war to dominate and conquer and control. But God reverses that one life at a time through willing people. God does have a plan, and it's a plan to overthrow all the little kingdoms of this world that keep people alone and isolated, hurting and hating, blowing up families, imprisoned in addictions, locked behind bars of fear, destroyed by systems of greed and injustice. God's plan is to do something about that through you. And you. And you. And you. And me. He's working through us. We, as one body. I wanted to share with you just a couple of quick snippets from videos of the power of a shared dream. These first couple you'll probably be really familiar with. Let's take a look at these real quick.
But why, some say, the moon? Why choose this as our goal? And they may well ask, why climb the highest mountain? Why, 35 years ago, fly the Atlantic? Why does Rice play Texas? We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
I have a dream that one day,
yes,
this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners, will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood? I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight.
Both inspirational speeches that were instrumental in igniting our nation in different areas. One sent us to the moon and gave us a wealth of technology. The other pushed us into an arena where we had to overcome our prejudices and our pride. And we're familiar with those dreams and the power that they held for us as a nation. What about this dream?
I pray not only for them, but also for those who believe in me because of their message. I pray that they may all be one. Father, may they be in us, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they be one so that the world will believe that you sent me. I gave them the same glory you gave me, so that they may be one just as you and I are one. I and them and you and me. So that they may be completely one, in order that the world may know that you sent me and that you love them as you love me.
Jesus has set before us a God-sized dream for what his church can become, what we as his church can become. But it is a God-sized dream, and we can't do it without God or without each other. Romans chapter 12 gives a picture of God's plan. Starting in verse 4, it says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." God wants nothing less than to represent himself through you and me to the world, functioning as one body made up of our diverse gifts, abilities, passions, and stories. God's creating something new, a new family, a united community, a body to work through to reverse the isolating, alienating effects of a world gone astray. A new community that starts with grace, says, "Come as you are," because that's where God starts with all of us, as we are. Through Jesus' sacrifice, he sets us free from fear of judgment and condemnation so we can offer the same grace to others. Then we are free to be an authentic community that says, "No perfect people allowed," because there are no perfect people. That includes us. We're going to be real with our struggles, our sins, our doubts, so we can talk together and grow. And that's the point, that we don't stay that way, that we stay intentional about doing life with God and with others in order to grow. But it's not all about us. God cares about those people that you live with and interact with who still have spiritual and physical needs. He wants us to be the body. God dreams of a responsive, connected community that he can live in and through to tangibly show the world what he is like. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 14, it says, "Instead, we speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." This is a radical concept. 2,000 years ago, God revealed himself tangibly in a Nazarene body. Jesus said, God's kingdom has come, and wherever Jesus went, he met spiritual and physical needs through the power of God. God still has a body on earth to represent himself, you and me. And the sign of our maturity is that together as a unified body, through his Spirit, we do what Christ would be doing in demonstrating his love to our world. But it only happens when we are willing. Do you realize that God intends for you to be an interdependent part of his body, connected to others sitting around you right now? But it won't happen without your willingness. Starts with a simple prayer. God, I want to see with your eyes. Every day you interact with people who have spiritual and physical needs that God wants to meet. But so often we just pass right by because we don't see. We may not see beneath the surface, or we may not want to see. But if you'll pray for God to give you his eyes of compassion to see, he will show you. But here's a big problem that keeps us from being the body. We don't want to see people's needs because they overwhelm us. Or we hear voices telling us, you can't do anything about that. Or they'll think you're weird if you ask. And so we'd rather cover our eyes and not see. Or if we do see, we often throw up our hands and say, I'm just one person. I can't solve the world's problems. I don't know how to help a struggling single mom. I can't fix an addict. I don't know how to counsel a depressed person. I can't solve someone's financial crisis. I can't eradicate poverty and injustice. I don't know how to answer someone's spiritual question or to give someone hope. But you have to remember, you're not alone. You are not alone anymore. Jesus promised that he be with you always. And remember, he is the head of his body. You're just the hands reaching out. All you need to do is be willing to reach out, to see the need and to pray, God, I'll reach out with your hands. God wants us to be willing. We can't do it all, but we can do something. Isaiah chapter 1 says, learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. God takes seriously the needs around us, and he wants us to be willing. You don't have to figure everything out or meet everyone's needs. You can't. You would get overwhelmed. But if you'll just be willing hands responding to the head of the body, the greatest mind in the universe will coordinate the rest. Think about that. He is beyond our imagination, how wonderful God is. There are spiritual needs that he wants to meet through your willingness. God wants us to tell people of the hope that we found in a relationship with him through Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, familiar passage, says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. If you found hope in Christ, you just tell people what you found. As one person said, heard Dion say it many a times, I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where to find the bread. If you found hope, point others to the hope that you have. If you are hungry if they're hungry, they'll eat. If not, just respect their wishes. You don't have to be a bully or bother them a lot. Put it out there. If they're hungry, they'll eat. If we will be a church of people who live in a new way with each other, who show compassion for each other in tangible ways, and then are willing to tell them of the hope that we found in Christ with gentleness and respect, many people will discover grace and freedom. Will you be bold enough to pray, God, I want to see with your eyes. God, I want to reach out with your hands. Just think about 4 to 8 people that you already interact with. Neighbors, co-workers, relatives. Will you pray for their spiritual and physical needs? Then will you be willing to reach out and do whatever you can? Remember, you're not alone. You're connected to the greatest mind in the universe, and you don't have to have all the gifts or the abilities either, because you're connected to a body. God's unfathomable wisdom is highlighted in man's ignorance. I'm sort of a science geek at times, and I like watching all these science shows that are on TV, and there's a lot of atheistic evolution that is promoted in them, but when I watch them, I always see God's infinite wisdom behind it all. The past 25, 30 years, men have calculated and said, you know what? There's not enough stuff in our universe. All of what we can see, all that's made up of atoms, can't account for the space that's in our universe. So our latest and greatest theories that are testimony to our ignorance are these things called dark matter and dark energy. And they make up, from our best guess, because we can't see them or detect them, about 95% of our universe. So that little yellow sliver there represents something that we know about. The rest of it is unknown. Guess what? God made that. He understands it fully. And that is the mind that we have access to when we seek to help other people, when we seek to be the body of Christ, and we reach out in our weakness and lean on his strength, we are able to tap into that. And so we pray, God, I want to be the body. But you can't be the body alone. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a wonderful passage on the body. Starting in verse 21, it says, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. God's dream is that we would no longer see ourselves as independent, isolated silos of self-will, but as uniquely gifted, interdependent parts of his body. Self-centeredness rather than God-centeredness destroys God's body on earth. It causes us to think too highly of ourselves and to look down on others like we don't need them. Or it causes us to be preoccupied with ourselves as not being good enough, so we take ourselves right out of the game. Or it causes us to fight and divide and destroy the community. It's like an autoimmune disease. We attack the body and destroy ourselves. Keeps us from trusting God and working together. We need each other to be the body. So when you start to pray for those that you interact with and you realize someone's struggling with something that you don't feel equipped to deal with, remember, you're connected to a larger body, to other parts with other gifts and skills and abilities and resources. You may not know how to help somebody overcome an addiction, but the body can. You may not know how to help a single mom in crisis with kids and loads of bills because her husband abandoned her for another woman, but the body can. You may not know how to help a couple in marital crisis, but the body can. You may not know how to help someone with tough spiritual questions, but the body can. And as you share your story and what you're learning, you can also connect them to our body to learn more. Bring them here to a service. Invite them to your small group. Coming up, there's this great opportunity. On Wednesday nights, starting June 5th, we're going to have our neighborhood cookouts. If you would like, there's some of these magnets. There's some on the doors out there. There's some in the back. I would challenge you to take a couple. Take two or three. Give them out to your neighbors on either side. Maybe they know you go to church. Maybe they don't. That's a great opportunity to, you know, broach the subject. Invite them to come. It's very low pressure. Everybody likes to eat, right? Everybody likes a cookout and some games. Invite them to come. Take one to somebody that's not a neighbor. We originally got these to distribute to our relationship to the kids at Slate Ridge Elementary. But timing-wise, they didn't come back before school was out. So I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody, but we don't want these to go to waste. We would love for you to take a couple and give them out to your neighbors. Invite them to come. It's a perfect opportunity. There's a lot of other things that are going on. You've got the VBS that's coming up. There's another opportunity. You can just invite your neighbors. It's very, you know, doesn't take it's not a lot of pressure. Very simple. The thing is, we can do this. The question is, are you willing to be available? Will you begin to pray, God, I want to see with your eyes, reach out with your hands, and be the body. I'll do what I can, and I'll also connect people with other parts of the body so that you can do your work through all of us. Am I willing to respond? Pray for your neighbors. See what God will do. Kind of went to this a little bit early. This excellent opportunity. Invite your friends to come. I'd like to end this morning real quickly. Just kind of a re-encouragement to dream again. Let's together decide that we are going to be the body of Christ here in this community. We're going to reach out, we will seek, we will help, we'll do whatever God calls us to do. I would challenge you to dream again, to get a hold of Jesus' vision for what his church can become. If there's anything that we can help you with today, if we can start you down the path of dreaming anew, if you would like to put your foot in the ground, declare that your allegiance is to Christ. Put him on in baptism. We can help you with that. Whatever needs you may have that we can pray for you, we'll be happy to do that for you right now. Let's stand together as we sing this invitation song together.